بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. I bear witness there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone, and He has no partners. I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the worshipper and the final messenger of Allah. May peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. My brothers and sisters, from the most beautiful names of Allah, and all of the names of Allah are beautiful, and from the most beautiful and good and high descriptions and actions of Allah, and all of them are good and elevated, is that Allah is Al-Ghafoor and At-Tawwab. These are two of the most beautiful names of Allah, and all of His names are beautiful. That Allah is Al-Ghafoor and At-Tawwab. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he used to supplicate to Allah, he used to use these names. He used to call out to Him saying Al-Ghafoor, At-Tawwab, and then he used to seek forgiveness from Him. Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma narrates in Sunan Abi Dawud that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say in his dua, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, O my Lord, forgive me. وَتُبْ عَلَيَّ, and accept my repentance. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الْغَفُورُ. You are التواب and you are الغفور. So these are two names of Allah Jalla fil Ula, التواب الغفور. And the general translation of the name التواب is the one who accepts repentance, many repentance and much repentance. And the meaning of the name of Allah, Al-Ghafoor, i.e. the one who forgives the sins of the people. And whenever we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should try to use as many of His names as we can. Because Allah said in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. That for Allah are the good names, for Allah are the beautiful names. So supplicate to Him, call out to Him with these names. So when, for example, you want to seek forgiveness, then you should call out to Allah by saying, Al-Ghafoor At-Tawwab. When you want the mercy of Allah, then you call out to Him, you make dua to Him, you say, Ya Ar-Rahman, Ya Ar-Rahim. And so on and so forth. When you want, for example, victory from Allah for the Muslims, then you call out to Him, Al-Qadir, the one who has complete ability over everything. Al-Nasir, the one who gives victory, and like this. So you use the names of Allah which are appropriate to the dua that you're making and what you're asking for or what the situation is. And these two terms, Maghfirah and Tawbah, we hear them often, and their meanings are very similar. However, what's the difference or the actual meaning of Maghfirah and Tawbah? As I mentioned, in English, we translate them as being Maghfirah means seek forgiveness, istighfar, and Tawbah means repent. But what is the difference between both of them, even though they are very similar? When we say istighfar, to seek forgiveness, or Maghfirah, then this term includes two things. That you are asking Allah to conceal your sins, hide your sins from the other people. So any sins that you do or you've ever done, then they're hidden away from the eyes of the people. Nobody knows, and therefore your honor is protected in front of the people. And the other thing that you're asking Allah for when you say Allahumma ghfirni or istighfar or maghfirah, is that you are seeking protection from Allah from the evil of these sins, i.e. that he does not punish you. So you're seeking two things. Number one, he conceals your sins and protects your honor in front of the people. And number two, that you are safe from the evil of those sins you have committed, such that Allah forgives you. And this is for general, for any sins that you might have committed. So we always make istighfar. Even if you haven't committed a sin, for example, you still make istighfar. Because it is a general dua that Allah protects you and conceals all of your previous sins, and He keeps you safe from the punishment of those sins. And as for at-tawbah, then this includes three things. Something in the past, something right now in the days that you're living, and something in the future. So in the past, you have to be sorry in front of Allah for committing this sin which you have just committed. So that sin which you committed previously in the past, and you remember that specific sin that you want to make tawbah from, then you have to feel sorry and apologetic in front of Allah for this sin that you have committed. That's in the past. As for in the present, the days that you're living, that you stay away from this sin that you committed previously. You don't do the sin right now. And as for in the future, then you have a strong determination, a strong intention, that in the future you will try your best never to return back to this sin. And this is the difference between maghfirah and at-tawbah. So maghfirah is done any time, and at-tawbah is done specifically when you have done a sin. And sometimes both of these terms are used with the same meaning. They refer to the same thing. And therefore, perhaps through the mercy of Allah, He forgives the sins of the people without them even making a tawbah. So even though you might not seek repentance and actually make tawbah, as long as you die upon a tawheed and you stay away from a shirk, then from the mercy of Allah, perhaps He will forgive your sins even if you don't make a tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's narrated that he said, "Kullu bani Adam khatta," that every single human being, every single child of Adam, khatta, is the one who makes many mistakes. Every single human being will make many sins and many mistakes. وَخَيْرُ خَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, and the best of the humans who make many mistakes are the tawwabun, those who seek repentance. And this narration, which has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it contains a number of benefits. Number one, that nobody is perfect. Everybody commits sins. Kullu bani Adam khata. Every single one from amongst the humans, the children of Adam, khata. They make many sins. Except the one whom Allah has protected, i.e. the prophets and the messengers, they do not commit sins when it comes to transmitting or conveying the revelation of Allah. They can't possibly make any sin when it comes to conveying the message and the revelation of Allah. So they are protected from sins in this regard. Apart from them, from the greatest of imams to the lowest of the people, kullu bani Adam khata. Every single human being and every single child of Adam will make sins or will sin. The second benefit is that the sinners, those who make a lot of sins, they're two types. They are good sinners and they are bad sinners. So even sinners, they can be good. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa khayru khatta'in," that the best of the sinners, the good sinners. So this shows that there's two types of sinners: people who sin and they are good at sinning, they do good, they sin but they are good, and then those who are apart from this, i.e., they are evil. The third benefit is, how do we differentiate between a person who is a good sinner and a bad sinner? At-tawwabun, those who repent. So if you commit a sin and then you repent to Allah, you seek forgiveness from Allah, you turn back to Allah, then you are from the khayru khata'in, from the good sinners. And if you remain upon this sinning, negligent of your Lord, and you don't seek forgiveness, you don't repent, you don't turn to Him, then you are from the evil sinners or the bad sinners. From the benefits of this hadith is that through you sinning, because of you sinning, this might lead you, and if you're a believer, it should lead you to actually become close to Allah. So even when you sin, as long as you then remember Allah and seek forgiveness and repentance, this then should make you become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something which is found in the sunnah of Allah. That every single thing which Allah has decreed, whether you think it's good or bad, it is with a wisdom. So for the believer, if he is tested by an illness, poverty, difficulty, even sinning, then there is a wisdom in every single one of these. And every single one of these should cause the believer to become closer to his Lord, Jalla fil Ula. Just like a person, when he becomes ill, only after a person becomes ill, he truly realizes the blessing of good health. And like this, sinning. When a person sins and is a believer, and he feels that his iman has gone down, his heart has hardened, and he has become distant away from Allah, and he feels the loneliness and the isolation from Allah because he's sinning and staying away from the masjid and not praying and so on and so forth, this then makes him remember the great blessing of finding comfort in Allah and tranquility in al-Islam, and the great feeling of practicing Islam, and this seeks him to seek forgiveness. Ibn Qayyim rahimullah, in his book At-Tariq ila Hijratain, he mentioned over 30 different benefits or wisdoms behind a person sinning, and we don't have the time to cover everything. And then another benefit from this hadith, kullu bani Adam khata, every single child of Adam is one who commits many sins, and the best of the sinners are those who make tawbah, repent, is that Islam does not expect from one of us that we have to be perfect and that we're never going to commit a sin. Rather, the door of Allah, i.e. the door of repentance and forgiveness, it remains open for whom? For those from amongst the believers who sin. And this is an important point. One of the reasons why people sometimes stay away from practicing Islam properly, implementing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, attending the prayers in the masajid, is that they think that if I do this, that means I'm never going to make a mistake again. I have to be perfect in the eyes of the people. And this isn't correct, and neither is it healthy. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us that all of Bani Adam make mistakes. So if Allah has permitted you to make a mistake and you seek forgiveness, then more so in the case of the people, in the eyes of the people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I take an oath and I swear by the one in whose hand my soul is, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُوا, that if you were humans, if you were a group of people who never made sins, who never sinned and committed errors and mistakes, لَقَدْ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ, then Allah would destroy all of you. If you humans, if you were those who never committed sins, if you were perfect and this is what was expected of you, لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ, then Allah would destroy all of you. ثُمَّ لَقَدْ جَاءَ بِقَوْمٍ يُذْنِبُونَ, and then He would bring another group of people or another type of creation who commit sins. فَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهُ, and then they seek the forgiveness of Allah. فَيَغْفِرُوا لَهُمْ, and Allah forgives them. So Allah loves to forgive the people, and the only people who seek forgiveness and make tawbah are those who commit sins. So Allah loves the sinners who are good, khayrul khata'in, the good sinners. Why? Because they are tawwabun. They also go back to Him and they seek repentance and forgiveness from Him. Our Lord Azza wa Jal, and He is Al-Ghafoor, He is Al-Rahim, He is Al-Tawwab. He is the one who said regarding Himself, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that my mercy is greater than everything. And he's the one who said regarding himself, وَرَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي, that my mercy comes much before my anger. Our Lord, He ordered us to be those people who seek forgiveness, to repent to Allah, to return to Allah, to realize our shortcomings. And those people who realize our mistakes, and that you accuse yourself and look at yourself before you look at others. And this is one of the problems with the Muslims today, and especially the Muslim youth. That instead of looking at your own sins, your own shortcomings and your deficiencies, we want to look at everybody else. And we want to point the finger at everybody else. And I always say that if you're going to be harsh, then be harsh against yourself. Why? Because every single person is amiru nafsihi. Every person is in charge of his own self and in charge of his own actions. So if you're going to be harsh, then first be harsh on yourself. And look at your mistakes and your sins before you look at the sins and point out the sins of others. And of course, I'm not talking about refuting innovations and innovators. This has to be done. But I'm talking about sins and shortcomings and people criticizing other people's sins and the wives of other people and the daughters of other people and talking about the honor of other people. In the Quran, Allah Jalla fil Ula, He ordered us as believers and Muslims to seek forgiveness and repent. Allah said, وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Seek forgiveness from Allah, because Allah is Al-Ghafoor, He is the one who forgives, and He's Ar-Rahim, He is the one who is most merciful. Allah said in the Quran, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Know, have knowledge that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and then seek forgiveness for your sins. So the first thing He ordered us with was التوحيد and العقيدة. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Have knowledge, learn and know that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. This is called كلمة التوحيد, the statement of التوحيد. The thing that comes first is التوحيد. And then Allah said, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Seek forgiveness for your sins. Allah said in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say, O Muhammad, to the people, O my worshippers, the ones whom have exceeded the limits of sinning and oppression against themselves, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Because Allah, He forgives all of the sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And He is Al-Ghafoor and He is Al-Rahim. So Allah addresses those people who sin, who exceed the limits in sinning, أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They oppress themselves with sinning. Those who lose hope in the mercy of Allah, those who distance themselves from Allah, those who have become negligent of the punishment of Allah, and He says to them, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. And this is one of the plots of shaitan that he has upon some people. That he'll say to them that your sins are so many and you're going to continue committing those sins, there's no need for you to seek forgiveness. Allah is not going to forgive you. You're a sinner. And yet Allah says, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Why? Because Allah forgives all of their sins. And the prophets and the messengers, they came to their people, telling them to seek forgiveness for their sins. Nuh alayhi salam said to his people, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. So I said to them, I said to my people, seek forgiveness for your sins. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Because He is the one who is Ghaffar. He forgives many sins. In fact, the prophets and the messengers themselves, this was their practice. Their practice was seeking forgiveness and making a tawbah. Even though they were prophets and messengers, and they were protected from committing sins when it comes to transmitting the Sharia, yet despite this, it was their practice to seek forgiveness for their sins and to repent. The first man and the first woman to make tawbah and istighfar was Adam and Hawa alayhimus salam. Qala, both of them said, man and woman. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Both of them said, O our Lord, indeed we have oppressed ourselves, i.e. through sinning. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. And if you do not forgive us, and if you do not have mercy upon us, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Then we will be amongst those who are destroyed. Ibrahim alayhi salam, what was his dua? And all of you have memorized his dua. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. O my Lord, forgive me and my parents on the day when everybody will be held accountable. And as for our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he is the best of the prophets and the greatest of mankind, then that which has been mentioned about him seeking forgiveness and repenting, there are narrations which would make our hearts tremble. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, Wallahi, by Allah, إني لا أستغفر الله وأتوب إليه. By Allah, indeed I seek forgiveness from Allah. وأتوب إليه, and I repent in front of Him في اليوم, in a single day, 70 مرة, 70 times. In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates in Abu Dawood that he said, إنا كنا لنعد لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That we used to count the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil majlis al-wahid, in a single sitting, that he would say, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, O my Lord, forgive me, وَتُوبَ عَلَيَّ, and accept my repentance, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ, you are التَّوَّابُ, you are الرَّحِيمُ, 100 times. Ibn Umar says that we used to count that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a single sitting, 100 times he would say, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَتُوبَ عَلَيَّ. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ يَقُولُ. I never heard anybody repeating more often, أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ, that I seek forgiveness from Allah and I repent in front of him, مِنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So he is the Prophet of Allah, he is the Messenger of Allah, he is the chosen one of Allah, he is the first one who will enter into Jannah. He will never see the fire. He is the first one who will enter. He is the first one who will open the doors of Jannah. Any sins that he could have possibly even committed, they have already been forgiven, protected from any sins ever in the future. And yet, 70 times, 100 times, more than anybody else, he makes istighfar and he makes a tawbah. So if this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then how about me and you, the weak ones whose sinning is much like the mountains? And the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make istighfar and tawbah so much is because of his aqeedah and because of his at-tawheed. And this is an important point that we have to pay attention to. That from complete submission in front of Allah and complete at-tawheed in Allah, and the strength of your aqeedah is that you show your poverty and need and sinful nature in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is because that if a person commits a single sin, even if it's a small sin, and he seeks repentance and forgiveness, but he isn't upon at-tawheed and he's upon a shirk, then Allah will never accept his repentance, even if it's a small sin. And the opposite is also true, that if a person has many, many sins, but he's upon at-tawheed and he's away from shirk, then perhaps Allah, through his great virtue and mercy, he'll forgive all of his sins. And this shows the importance of studying at-tawheed and teaching at-tawheed, calling to tawheed, and basing our da'wah upon at-tawheed. And in reality, those Islamic groups and sects and parties and movements who call to the rectification of the ummah and they want victory for the ummah, if you see that their call is not upon at-tawheed and they don't teach at-tawheed and this is their main call, then by Allah, know that those are people of deviation and groups of innovation. And never can victory come to this ummah except through at-tawheed and the call to at-tawheed. So anybody who speaks against the call to at-tawheed and thinks that the victory of this ummah is in this and this and this, and it is not in teaching the people at-tawheed, they know that victory will never come through those people. And those people are not upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Listen to the hadith which Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrates. He said, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يقول, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying. And he said, I heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَبْنَ Adam, O person, O human being, O child of Adam, لَوْ بَلَغَتْ ذُنُوبُكَ عَنَانَ السَّمَاءِ, if your sins reach the limits of the sky, ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي, and then you seek forgiveness from me, غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي, then I will forgive you and I don't care. Even if your sins are the limits of the sky, I will forgive you and I don't care. I don't care how great and how severe and how many number your sins are. And then the point here is the importance of Tawheed. يَبْنَ Adam, O child of Adam, O human being, لَوْ أَتَيْتَنِي بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَطَايَا, if you were to come to me with the earth full of sins. Our town, Nelson, is a small town, but imagine that your sins was the distance of the whole of Nelson, the area of the whole of Nelson. How great would these sins be? Then imagine if it was the size of Lancashire or England. If your sins were the size of the whole of England. And then imagine your sins were so many that the whole earth was full of these sins. Allah says, يَبْنَ Adam, لَوْ أَتَيْتَنِي بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَطَايَا, O child of Adam, O son of Adam, if you were to come to me with the earth full of sins. Then he said, ثُمَّ لَقِيتَنِي لَا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا, and then you meet me, or you die, لَا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا, but you have not committed a shirk. Meaning you are a person of at-tawheed. You learn, you study, you teach, you call to, you implement, and you act upon at-tawheed. لَأَتَيْتُكَ بِقُرَابِهَا مَغْفِرَةً, then I would give you the earth back in forgiveness. As long as you are a person of at-tawheed. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me upon at-tawheed and to make you upon at-tawheed, and that He forgives our sins. Of course, seeking forgiveness and repentance is done all throughout the day. We said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam 70 times in a day, 100 times in a single sitting, he would say astaghfirullah. However, there are certain times and places throughout the day where it's more emphasized for us to make tawbah and seek forgiveness. And I will mention some of them. Number one, after wudu. So after you have made wudu, this is one of the specific times when you should be saying astaghfirullah. Also, in your prayer, in your sujood, and before you make at-tasleem. In your sujood, after you have said Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, one times or three times, and before your tasleem, then these are two places of making specific dua of istighfar. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he mentions a supplication which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught him. He said, عَلَّمَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam دُعَاءً أَدْعُو بِهَا فِي صَلَاتِي, that the Prophet, he taught me a dua that I say in my prayers, meaning in my sujood and before I make a tasleem. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. O Allah, I have oppressed myself with much oppression. Wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. And there is nobody who forgives the sins apart from you. Faghfirni maghfiratan min indik. So forgive me with the forgiveness from yourself, from you, innaka antal ghafur rahim. You are al ghafur and you are al rahim. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he would make this dua in every single one of his prayers. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant faghfirni maghfiratan min indik innaka antal ghafur rahim. Also, when you make ruku' and when you make sujood, even though in your ruku' you don't make dua, the only dua that you can make after saying Subhana Rabbiyal Azim and then Subhana Rabbiyal A'la in the sujood is Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika Allahumma ghfirni. You say Allahumma ghfirni. And this is the only dua that is made in the ruku'. Apart from this, in the ruku' you don't make dua. You say Subhan Rabbi al-Azim and you glorify your Lord. And also, and this is important, straight after you have committed the sin, then that is the best time to seek forgiveness and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Indeed, those people who commit an act of lewdness or they oppress themselves through sinning, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهُ. And then they remember Allah. Meaning they remember Allah straight away. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. And then they seek forgiveness for their sins. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. And then who is it that forgives the sins apart from Allah? So one of the best times to seek forgiveness for your sins is straight after you have committed that sin. And this is what Allah mentioned in the Quran. Now, people sometimes ask that how do we know whether our forgiveness is accepted or not accepted? Or what are the conditions of tawbah which will be accepted by Allah? And there are 7 different conditions. The first is al-ikhlas and at-tawheed. You have to be upon sincerity and be upon at-tawheed. The second is al-iqla' anil ma'asiyah. That you have to leave off that sinning. So you can't be sinning and then seeking forgiveness at the same time that you're sinning. You have to try your best that you leave off and you abandon this sin. And then you have a strong determination that you're never going to come back to this sin. You try your best and you have the intention in your mind that I'm never going to commit this sin again. Even if you end up falling into the sin, as long as you have the strong determination and truthful determination that you're never going to commit that sin again. And then the fourth one, that you're sorry and you're apologetic of the sin that you've committed in front of Allah. So you can't be seeking forgiveness and then you have no remorse in your heart about the sin that you've committed. You have to feel sorrow and remorse in your heart about the sin that you have committed. This is if it's a personal sin. So if it's a personal sin, at-tawheed and ikhlas, you leave off the sin, you have a strong determination that you're never going to commit it again, even if you do fall into it again, and you show remorse and you're sorry about this sin. This is if it's a personal sin. If, however, this sin includes a right of another person that you've taken, for example, you've stolen somebody's wealth, you hit somebody, you oppress somebody, then there's another condition on top of this. And that is Raddul Madhalim. That you have to repay that right. If you stole his wealth, you can't just seek forgiveness to Allah, you have to go and return the wealth of that person. Or you have to go and apologize to that person. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, man kana li akhihi indahu madhlama. That whoever has an oppression that he has done upon one of his brothers, فَلْيَتَحَلِّلْهُ, then he should try to return back this right. قَبْلَ أَلَّا يَكُونَ دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا. Before a day comes when there will be no gold coins and there will be no silver coins. Meaning you won't be able to repay these rights that you have taken. Then there will only be good deeds and bad deeds, and your good deeds will go to him and his bad deeds will go to you. And then 2 more conditions is that this forgiveness has to be said before the last instance of your life, when your soul reaches your throat, and this forgiveness and seeking repentance has to be done before the coming of the day of resurrection, when the sun will rise from the west and set in the east. What are the benefits of seeking forgiveness? Firstly, that difficulties in your mind, anxieties in your mind, restriction in your chest, depression, feeling low, all of these are removed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a hadith in Abi Dawood, man lazima al-istighfara, whoever is constant upon istighfar, astaghfirullah, 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 whoever is constant upon seeking forgiveness from Allah, ja'ala Allahu lahu min kulli dhiqin makhraja, then Allah will make for him an opening from every difficulty, from any difficulty, Allah makes for him an opening. وَمِن كُلِّ هَمِّن مَخْرَجًا. And for every or any anxiety or depression in the mind, then Allah will make for him a relief or a removal of this anxiety. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. and Allah will give him provisions and provide for him in ways and avenues that he cannot imagine. So if we are feeling difficulty in terms of our wealth, we're finding it difficult, we haven't got a job, we're feeling depressed or low or we're in difficulty, then what is the answer that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave? Luzum al-istighfar. Make istighfar. Make istighfar and Allah will give you a rizq. He'll find a job for you. Make istighfar and Allah will remove this anxiety and weight from your shoulders. Also, from the benefits of making a lot of istighfar is that you become rich. You become wealthy. Nuh alayhi salam, when he went to his people and he said to them, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. And so I said to them, I, my people, seek forgiveness from your Lord. Indeed, he is ghaffar. He forgives sins. Then he said, the benefit is, يُرْسِلُ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِرَارًا. That Allah will cause the skies to send many rains, many much water upon you. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ. And then he will give you much wealth. وَبَنِينَ. And he will give you many children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. And he will make for you gardens and paradise. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And he will make give to you flowing rivers. Who? Those who make istighfar of Allah. And also, and more important than anything, is that through the istighfar of Allah is success in the hereafter and safety from the punishment of Allah. The last point that I want to finish at is an important point. So far we have been talking about Allah forgiving us and seeking repentance in front of Allah. And I mentioned that one of the names of Allah is Al-Ghafoor, He forgives. And Al-Afu, He pardons. And He accepts people's apologies and repentances. So if these are the beautiful names of Allah, and these are the actions that Allah does, and these are the actions that Allah loves, then this is also an encouragement for us that we pardon and that we forgive and overlook the mistakes and the oppression that occurs between each other. If one of your brothers wrongs you or oppresses you, and then he apologizes in front of you, then you have to accept his apology. Because this person, he has come to you humble, modest, realizing his mistake, almost in a level of submission in front of you, in order to apologize for his mistake. So in this situation, you accept his apology. And you forgive and you forget. And as for a person who comes and he doesn't apologize, still forgive him and still pardon him. But you have to learn your lesson. So you don't, the believer does not place his hand in the same hole and get stung twice. So you learn your lesson and you don't forget, but you can forgive and pardon and you don't hold anything in the heart against him. Allah said in the Quran, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And those people who pardon and forgive the others, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves those who do good. So this is from goodness that you pardon the mistakes of other people. Allah said in the Quran, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Pardon and overlook. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Is it not beloved to you that Allah also forgives your sins? Just as you want Allah to forgive your sins, then also you forgive and overlook and pardon the sins and oppressions of other people. And I will finish with a benefit from one of the great imams of the Salaf. And it's only correct that I ascribe this benefit to the brother who taught me this benefit, or he mentioned to me. The brother who came to our masjid a few weeks ago, Abu Taymiyyah Muhammad Jailani, from the students of Dammaj. And he mentioned this benefit and I was sitting there and I took it from him. And may Allah reward him. I keep him firm upon the truth. He said that Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri, from the great scholars of the Tabi'een, every single night he used to make the dua, Allahumma afu amman zalamani. Oh Allah, pardon the one who has oppressed me. So this was the dua. Imagine that Al-Hasan Al-Basri, he's being oppressed by other people, and he wakes up at night from his sleep, turns to his Lord, and what is his dua? Allahumma afu amman zalamani. Oh Allah, pardon those who have oppressed me. And one day, a man came to him and said, Ya Aba Sa'id, O Abu Sa'id, meaning Al-Hasan Al-Basri, لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُكَ اللَّيْلَى, that I heard you last night, تَدْعُوا لِمَنْ ظَلَمَكَ, and you were making so many supplications for those people who are oppressing you. حَتَّى تَمَّنَّيْتُ أَنَا أَكُونَ مِمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ. Up until I hoped that I was one of those people who also oppressed you. Why did this man want to be from those people who oppressed Al-Hasan al-Basri? Because he wanted to come under the dua of Al-Hasan al-Basri. اللهم اعفو عمن ظلمني. Oh Allah, pardon the one who has oppressed me. So this man said that I heard so many du'as that you're making like this, that I hope that I was the one who was oppressing you. Why? So that Allah has pardon upon me and your dua is accepted about me. Then he said, وَمَا دَعَاكَ إِلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ. Why do you keep making this dua? Why do you supplicate for the one who has oppressed you? And Al-Hasan al-Basri said, because Allah said in the Qur'an, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That the one who pardons and the one who rectifies and rebuilds relationships, then his reward is with Allah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive us for our sins and to accept our repentance and to accept our good deeds. والله تعالى أعلم.